Last night I dreamed you were back again, larger than life again, holding me tight again, placing those same kisses on my brow, sweeter than ever now. Don't I remember how we didn't get enough kissing? Do you know how much you're missing? No, you don't, but I do. These like a slow train trickle by. All I can hear is your song haunting me. I can't get the melody out of my head to see. Distractions I've been using. Do you know how much you're losing? No, you don't, but I do. Yeah, but I do. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do. I swore I'd never fall like this again. Fools like me never win. Came to my knees again. I can't close the door on the likelihood. Things might be just as good. Always believe they would. I gotta let your love invite me. Baby, do you think it might be? No, you don't. But I do. Yeah, but I do. I wonder if I'll pass the point of rescue. Is there a word from you at all the best that you can do? I never meant to push or shove. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't. But I do. I wonder if I'll pass the point of rescue. Is there a word from you than all the best that you can do? I never meant to push or shove. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't. From what I do, I said no, you don't. What I do, I said no, you don't. But I do.
sat in a room with a square the color of blood. Through the whole world, there was a way that he could. He'd sit and he'd stare at the minarets and gobbled towers. For he was a beast as he hatched his new plans to gain power. And his love fell, covering the dreams and ideas. And his love taken before. They fought as the forces of light against the darkness in a holy war. One day they were looking around and the sun was shining on the cold flowers. The next day they were freezing to death in the snow in the ice cold showers. And the snow dreams and ideas, and the snow fell, freezing the blood and the wheels. And the snow fell, they had to keep warm for survival. And the snow fell and defeated the beast's only rival. Came the deadly road back from the steps of their retreat. The Korak, the bodies, but worse was the pain of defeat. Many people who had held them once now turned and looked away. These people now knew that the beast was on his way. Snow fell, covering the dreams and ideas. And the snow fell, freezing the blood and the wheels. And the snow fell, they had to keep warm for survival. And the snow came
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 12th day of October, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for tonight's broadcast is The Schism Grows. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's .net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We call your attention to the Daily Mail page, where we put updates on current events, also information about health, preparations, research material, etc. The home page is for information on how to help us out with a donation, if you feel so led. If you do not have my personal contact information, you can go to the Contact Us page, and that will let you know how you can put a message in there, and it will get to me, and then I'll touch base with you down the road. Please remember that Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. Kind of reminds me of the story of David and Goliath. It's sort of like the white man today is in the role of David standing against this world beast system, which is like a Goliath. And the schism, which is a division between entities, let me give you the dictionary actual definition of it. A formal separation of a church into two churches, or the withdrawal of one group over doctrinal differences. That's a schism, and we certainly have that. It's also division of a group into opposing factions. So both of these definitions apply today, as we have a schism between reality and the truth. Much as the Father said that there would be a division at the end of the age between the righteous and the unrighteous, between light and darkness. And that's what we're finding out. The unrighteous are becoming quite vocal and trying to change the world into their worldview. And the righteous are on the opposing side of that, representing light, understanding, wisdom, reasonable thought, rational thought, and the two are diametrically opposed. And so in a situation where you have two opposing forces that cannot coexist, the outcome of that is inevitable. To deny that outcome is to deny reason, to deny logic. So that's the reason for the broadcast tonight's title, The Schism Grows, that the dichotomy between these two opposing forces is getting stronger, wider, and more prevalent as the every day goes by. We're reminded in Revelation chapter 18 that he says to come out of her, my people. Come out of her. What is the her? It's Mystery Babylon. This Babylonian system is given the term of her, or Babylon. Babylon, again, comes from the Greek Babylon, and that word comes from the ancient Hebrew word Babel. Some pronounce it Babel, as in the Tower of Babel, because it means confusion. Okay, and what do we have today? Confusion. People don't even know what sex they are. They don't even know the differences between gender. They want to use different pronouns. They want transsexual and transgender and transhumanism to be accepted as normal. So we have confusion. Why? The word Babel or Babylon means confusion caused by admixture. Again, why do we have this schism? Because there's an attempt to create admixture. What does admixture mean? It means putting together things that don't belong together. For instance, if I take a lit match and hold it up to a quart jar full of gasoline, guess what? Yeah, you're going to get burnt. They don't belong together, okay? Yahweh's law and man's law do not belong together. William Blackstone made that very, very clear. One of the most famous jurists to ever exist. His commentaries on law used to be taught in our law schools until the Zionist communist Jews got a hold of the curriculum. And so now his commentaries are not taught. But William Blackstone was very adamant about the fact that you cannot make a law that is counter to God's law. In his own words, if you do such a thing, it is as if that law was never written. So obviously then, our ancestors understood man can only make rules, regulations, and statutes that are in accord with the common law or God's law. Period. That's it. Even the Constitution refers to this. Certainly the Articles of Confederation referred to this. But even without those documents, the preaching from the pulpit and the statements made by Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson and many of the founding fathers make it very, very clear that common sense and common law were the rule of the day. The Constitution is only a piece of paper that gives authority to public servants to hold their job. That's it. It has nothing to do with you and I. So get that out of your head. The Constitution is strictly a contract between we, the people, out here in civilian world, we, the people, and the people that we allow to be our, quote, public servants. They must take an oath of office, which is their promise to adhere to the contract. I'm going to read something that was posted on Telegram, and it's very, very true. And this guy goes by the title of Rabble Rouser. Any act, meaning any fruit or action, any act which dishonors your oath of office. Now, who takes an oath of office? Public servants. If you do anything to dishonor that oath, immediately and irrevocably, that vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. Even the Supreme Court of the United States has upheld that if you, as a police officer, a military man, or a member of any government office, if you are outside of your oath of office, you have lost the protections of that office. You have no protection because you have vacated your oath. Makes sense? Of course it makes sense. And so we find ourselves in a situation today where the schism between we the people and our public servants has grown because the public servants have been busy for decades making sure that they hire people of lower IQ who will accept whatever definition the Jew comes up with for government. Shortly after the Jews had risen to power enough, we ended up with things like human resources. Now, when I was a young man, there was no such thing as a human resource department. That came along in the 1980s and 90s. What the hell is a human resource? Oh, that's right, because Zionist communist Jews consider you and I animals. And so now you're just a resource, very similar to the cow or the sheep or the goat that's out in the pasture field. That's what you and I are to them. You're just a resource, and in this case, a human resource. And since you're a resource, you need to be tagged and tracked and followed and corralled and made sure that you stay within the confines of your corral. Because after all, you're the Jews' resource. Because if you're not their resource, you have no value. Do you see the schism? This is why it's growing wider and wider as more and more of our race begin to realize that the Jews have orchestrated white genocide upon this earth. A lot of white people are starting to realize that. Some of us have been trying to wake our people up for decades. It's been a frustrating job. Much like the Israelites of old, since people don't really change, I don't care if it's thousands of years later, basically they're the same. Our ancient ancestors were called stiff-necked, which means stubborn. Are the Israelites or the white men stubborn? Hell yeah, they're stubborn. Don't tell me what to believe. Don't tell me what to eat. I've tried to teach the food laws to our people and God's law in general, and I often heard, who are you to tell me what to eat or not to eat? Well, first of all, I don't really care what you eat or don't eat. It's no skin off my nose. I don't really care. If you want to go eat that pussy pig meat, go eat it. If you want to eat those nasty shellfish with all their parasites and germs, go eat them. Along with all the other mud races out here. Yeah, go ahead. I don't really care. Because you're the one that's going to deal with the deterioration of your joints, your ligaments, your body's organs as they start to shut down. You're the one that's going to go to the Jew doctor in the Jew hospital and ask them for a organ transplant or new joints to be put in your body or some powerful drugs that they're going to claim will help you overcome what you've done to yourself. The truth of the matter is it'll just make it worse, but what do you care? You didn't care to begin with. Because somebody tried to tell you, somebody tried to give you some sound advice, but you stiff-necked assholes, that's the typical Israelite today, a stiff-necked asshole, you wanted to puff up with your vainglory of, who are you to tell me what to do? Amazing, isn't it? So now the white race in general finds itself with its back up against the wall. We've allowed the Jews to completely overrun all the white nations of this world. They've instituted and implemented a plan to put Jews in all of the powerful positions. You look at the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jew. You look at the leadership of Australia, Jews. Or the Shabbos Goy, stupid Goyim is what they call us, stupid cattle that do the work of the Jew. So the few times you do see an Anglo face in there, it'll be one that's totally Jew-controlled. And then the non-white people they put in there, well, they're just going to do whatever they're told to do. And then, of course, we've got the females that were put in there. And they typically are the same exact way. In fact, many times the females are worse than the minority men that I've met. The females are terrible at following orders, no matter how stupid they are. Now, I'm not talking about in the house. I'm talking about in business, in an industry, and in the military. It's almost like they know they don't belong there, and so they'll do whatever the supervisor above them tells them to do. And that's exactly why the Jew loves promoting these people. Because they don't have to get past the white man's logic and the white man's reasoning, just like Adam in the garden. The Nakash serpent did not approach Eve until Adam was far enough away that he could convince her that she could be as God. The Jew comes in and convinces the white woman, you can be as God. You don't have to listen to those damn white guys. You know, they're just trying to put you down. You need to be free. You need to take orders from us Jews. We've got your back, white woman. And so we're going to help you become drug addicts like a lot of the white guys are. And we're going to help you to become alcoholics like a lot of guys are. And we're going to work you to death just like we do the white guys. And you can pay taxes just like the white guys. And we'll make sure that you're sleeping with the non-white men, too, because we know the non-white guys will tell you whatever your silly little ears want to hear in order to get you in the bed. We know that's going to happen. You see, Satan is cunning. He knows all this. He's been at war with us for thousands of years. This is no new thing. And so the schism is growing and growing and growing. But I've got news for you white men that get it right. You need to stay the course. As my father told me many years ago, Dan, why are you trying to beat the bushes and find all these people and trying to save them? I said, well, I kind of feel like that's my calling. He said, why don't you let them come to the mountain? You know, when he told me that, and this was a long time ago, I kind of thought, well, that's kind of a cop-out. Shouldn't I just beat the bushes and try to get our people, get them, you know, get them saved, so to speak? Well, the older I've gotten, the more sense that my father makes. And I think you and I, as educated and aware Israelites, we need to kind of look at that as our mission as well. Be that beacon on the hill. Be that lighthouse on the ocean. As Yahshua was when he walked this earth. Be a symbol of reason and of education and understanding. Of knowledge. And let them come to the mountain. Let them come to seek your wisdom. Don't go out there. You can't save most of these people. They're beyond saving. It's time to take those that are aware and raise them up. As we talked about in the different militia meetings that we've had, some of them on air, some of them off air, we're all scampering for ideas on what to do to prepare for what's coming, how to build our arks. And I want to remind everybody that you, as a true believer in our Heavenly Father, you who have made a willful decision to follow His law, you don't need to fret. Okay? He does not forsake us. I know it feels like it at times. I've been there. I understand it completely. But be truthful now. You know damn well He does not abandon us. Never has, never will. We're here today, you and I, because His hand has been upon us. We came here from above for this day and for this purpose. Stay your course. Stand your ground. Put that line in the sand and back up no more. He will open the doors in His time for us to do His will on this earth. You and I cannot force a door open. Even if we could, it's probably a door you probably don't want to go through. Even though the flesh may be telling you to do it, I got news for you. You better be careful about the doors you run through when it's your flesh telling you to do it rather than our Father and His Holy Spirit. Be very, very careful. We've reached that point where the Dead Sea Scrolls have talked about the great war between the children of light and the children of darkness. Guess what? You're in it. You're neck deep in this struggle. Praise be to the Father above that you're in the children of light category. What does that mean? That's a biblical way of saying that you represent reason, logic. You represent the white man's ability to see through the bullshit and the obfuscation of truth. That was a gift He gave to Adam from the beginning, Adam, the white man who shows blood in the face. That's why all of the ancient cultures had their statues of their gods with painted blue eyes or blue gemstones in the eyeball, because the white man was their Buddha, was there Confucius. We carried the laws of our Father upon this earth, exactly as He told Adam in the garden, I put you here to tend my garden. He didn't give that commandment to any other group of people. That is why, if you look honestly at history, you will always see it's where the white man goes that civilization flourishes. And when the pure white people stop doing that, it turns into a jungle. I just picked up another book on the shelf that I had read a couple years ago, and I was thumbing through it, and it was about ancient Egypt. And the author of this book made some very astute conclusions at the end of the book. And he points out what we've talked about in identity circles for years. The very first of the people in the first four dynasties of Egypt, which goes back many thousands of years, relatively many, not from the formation of the world, but I'll say 5,000 years ago, when they first started coming from northern countries down through the Mediterranean area, etc., and into North Africa, they were the proto-Egyptians, so to speak. And they were obviously Caucasians, pure white people. Nefertiti, who was known for her beauty, is obviously white. All you got to do is look at the statues. The early pharaohs, the early wives of the pharaohs, all of their statues, all of their descriptions, all of their engravings show them to be pure white. But over time, white people become stupid, especially if they're successful building a civilization much as the ancient Egyptians were. They had phenomenal architecture, agriculture, industry. They were very well off. And with that comes complacency. You can see it in the United States. As we flourished economically, we become lazy. And we start falling for the Nakash, the little demons that are out there telling us to be gods unto yourself. You don't have to listen to what the scriptures say. You don't have to listen to that Holy Spirit. Listen to that little voice of the demon inside you. You want to know where the devil is? Listen to the voices in your head. You'll find your demon, all right? It's right there inside your body. Those little voices that tell you, yeah, you can go out there and do those drugs. Go ahead. It ain't going to hurt you. You can go sleep with that prostitute. You can go sleep with that non-white. Go ahead. You're a man, after all. Go on. Go on. Do what men do. Ladies, you can defy your Adamic husbands. Yeah, get out there. Take all of his property. You can get another husband and take his property. After three or four husbands, you're going to be relatively rich. Now, I know, of course, that doesn't happen in every case, but I'm going to tell you, I've met many of men who have been ripped off and done in exactly that way. I have two personal close friends who have just got done serving time in jail from a disgruntled female making false accusations against them. Because the Jew system has empowered the woman because they are going after everybody, but most particularly the white man. Why? Because for thousands of years, Adam was put in charge. And so this is Eve's chance to get back at Adam. I know, ladies, it's easy to fall for that line of crap that you're being fed, but look at the world. Do you actually think it's a better place? I have to ask you, do you really think it's better that your children are completely undisciplined? That they're going to schools and they're not taught much of anything. Their IQ levels are dropping like rocks. All they know how to do is turn on electronic devices. They live a life of virtual reality through electronic devices. You actually think that's better? A government tells you to put a poison substance in them and put a diaper over their face, which is harmful to them, and you do it? You think that's better? You think Adam being in charge was worse? I got news for you. We were put here to be in charge. And if you don't like that, go find a different world. Go somewhere and build your own. Let's see who survives. We, the Adamic man, will survive. The men are starting to come back together, praise be to the Father. They're starting to look to each other, much like Malachi chapter 4 says. The men are starting to look to each other. They're starting to bond once again. It's a brotherhood, a band of warriors. Instead of chasing booze and drugs and females, which is a gigantic waste of time. It is this band of brothers, Adamic brothers, that are going to turn this world around. So everybody out there is going to have to make a decision pretty soon if they want to be on the right side of the fence, or do you want to be on the goat's side? Do you want to be on Yahweh's people's side, the people of light, in this war against darkness, or do you want to be on the other side of the fence? I got news for you. A lot of people like John Kaminsky like to put down the teachings that we teach because it comes from a, quote, Jewish Bible. Really, John? A Jewish Bible? The Jews never wrote a Bible. They follow the Talmud. You should know that. They don't follow anything called a Bible. The books of the Torah were our books. They weren't the Jews' books. In many ways, I like John's writings tremendously, but when he gets off on that tangent, I leave him. He's doing what so many people do, trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because we have a corrupt church system, centralized church in America and around the world, is communism. They are not teaching the doctrines of the living God. They're not teaching the doctrines of his anointed one called Yahshua. Now, whether you want to believe that he was a supernatural being or not, or that he was crucified and rose from the grave or not, that's up to you. But the fact that he walked this earth is indisputable. The fact that he taught the Old Testament and the teachings of our prophets is indisputable. The fact that he was, quote, Christos, anointed, Messiah, anointed, is indisputable. No different than Buddha, the original Buddha. Was he, quote, anointed? Well, didn't he teach logic? Didn't he teach basically scriptural common sense? The original Buddha, if you look at the oldest engravings and descriptions of him, was obviously an Aryan. Confucius was an Aryan. You go to the island of Japan, you go up into the northern part in the high mountains, and who lives up there? The Ainu people. That's funny. They look awful Caucasian to me. And all through ancient times, it was the Ainu people who were the, quote, cultured people, the people that were looked to for wisdom. Amazing, isn't it? You look at the samurai. What is samurai? Samurai means servant. Why do they dress up and try to look like Anglo-Saxons? Because the original servants, much like the original knights of the Middle Ages, they were the men better trained at violence to protect the innocent, just like the scriptures say we're supposed to do. Righteous men-at-arms protect the innocent, the orphans, the widows. And by the way, widows means women without a man as their cover. It doesn't mean just somebody that's lost a husband to death. A widow is a woman who has not covered. She is not covered by a Adamic man. The law of coveture, again, goes back into ancient times. Couvert, it comes from the word French word couvert, meaning to cover. Coveture. Every woman, when she leaves her father's house, is to go under the cover of another man. She is never to be without the cover of a white man. And I'm talking about a real white man, not just one of these bags of bones that's equipped like a male. They're not men. They're not men at all. And yes, that means that you might latch onto a guy that's also been latched onto by a couple other ladies. Yep. That's probably going to happen. Get used to it. Both you men and women, get used to it. It's the way of our people. I've been reading a lot of the National Socialist information out there, especially the National Socialist movement. A lot of those guys are in league with us as far as scripture. And I wanted to remind everybody that they talk a lot about Germany, especially Germany 100 years ago. It's hard to believe it was 100 years ago now, prior to World War II. And they had a group of guys that were part of the Waffen-Schutzstaffel. And Schutzstaffel is typically SS. You'll see the initials SS. And, of course, the Jew, knowing that we're ignorant fools today, know that you're never going to go look up, well, what does SS mean? Because the Jew has convinced you it's evil, terrible guys. Look, we've made a movie about it. But the Waffen-Schutzstaffel just meant Armed Protection Squad. So you could have a Schutzstaffel that was a protection squad that might not be armed. But because of the communists led by the Jews in Germany of that day, there were many times that the Germans were holding political rallies and truckloads of these guys would come in with chains and clubs and beat them and often kill people. Does that sound familiar? Because they didn't want the Germans to pull themselves up out of the quagmire that World War I had put them in. And so they formed Protection Squad, Schutzstaffel, SS. And when they came to power, they created the Waffen, which means armed, just like we should be doing today. After the Civil War, that's what the KKK was all about, the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, Dan, they're just a bunch of racists that go out and look for people to lynch and hang. Well, that shows your ignorance, if that's your opinion of what the Ku Klux Klan was. But unfortunately, I'm not in your category. I've read the books. I have probably about four of them over here on my shelf. Plus, I've read some electronic books on the history of the Klan. So you ignoramuses out there, of course, you're not going to know this, but the Klan was formed for the protection, much like the Waffen-Schutzstaffel was formed to protect the innocent people from being killed. After the Civil War, the people of the South were turned upon by the carpetbaggers from the North, the robber barons, and, of course, the freed blacks. Not all of the freed blacks did it, but many of them took to plunder and rape and murder. And so the Southerners took it upon themselves to form the Klan as a armed protection squad, a Waffen-Schutzstaffel, so to speak. They wore their hoods not because they were ashamed, but because in the South, thanks to the carpetbaggers of the North, most of whom were Jews, of course, if they had been identified as Klansmen, they would have been hung. So you didn't join the Klan because it was some whimsical thing to do. You joined the Klan at the risk of your own life to protect your loved ones. And so they wore the sheets and the hoods to protect being identified. And a lot of people don't know it, but they also had the same kind of sheets put over their horses, because many of the guys rode horses that were identifiable, or they might have had a brand on them that could identify them. Again, if they had been identified, they were going to hang because of the ignoramuses of the white race from the North. So it was no light thing to become part of the Klan. You literally were putting your life on the line to protect the people you love. So that's two groups of people in our recent past that often had to put their lives on the line to protect our people from sometimes ignorant other white people. And when I speak of white people, that does not include Jews. They are not white people. If you're one of the fools that's going around equating Jews and white people, you are just that. You are a fool. They're not us by DNA, and they're not us by culture, and they sure as hell are not us by faith. They are Antichrist. And so the schism in this world, again, is growing rapidly. And we're doomed to repeat our terrible history, where we have suffered greatly under tyranny and despotism, because we don't learn. We've become lazy, profligate. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. Oh, wait a minute. This is in the New Testament. I thought Jesus loved everybody. All you got to have is two arms and two legs. He just loves you to death. That's not what Peter's saying. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And this word ethnos from the Greek language is talking about a racial people. And the word holy comes from a word that means consecrated or separated. Again, separated, not commingling. A people for his, meaning our Heavenly Father, his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. They see, guys like John and others out there want to throw all this away because the church world has completely twisted it out of context, when it's obvious that the Apostle Peter was addressing the white race. Again, why in colonial America, to be a preacher, you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in Koine Greek. Koine is the Greek word for street Greek or common Greek. Well, geez, Dan, why did they have to learn Greek? We had Bibles that were printed in English. Why did they have to read Greek? Well, because the scriptures weren't written in English or German or Italian or Spanish or French. They were written in Greek. And as my friend John, who is Greek, who lives here in Florida half the year and lives in Greece the other half, is often telling me about how much knowledge and how much insight you can gain by knowing a foreign language. And knowing the Greek language, how many of the scriptures come to light and give you so much more information if you knew the true definitions. But if you want to go to those whitewashed sepulchers, those tombs called churches today, odds are you're not going to learn much truth. But then again, maybe that's not your objective. Maybe you just go because it looks good, or you're there to pick up chicks, or you're there to pick up guys. You're not there to gain wisdom, that's for sure. You're not going to find that in a church. Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to Yahweh God, that they may receive forgiveness of their transgressions, some people call it sins, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And yet, they want to throw it all away. We had a powerful Arian by the name of Yahshua, Jesus Christos, the anointed of Yahweh, who walked this earth, and had his name, Yahshua, which carried the connotation of Yahweh saves. That's what Yahshua meant. His very name described his position, his ministry, if you will, upon this earth. Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, For your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh God has risen upon you. You, ladies and gentlemen, are the living Bibles of today. You are the living Word, the living plan, the living Logos of our Heavenly Father. You know, everybody's scampering and trying to figure out how to protect ourselves from the New World Order and all these creatures that walked amongst us, but they haven't figured out yet. The kingdom is within you and I, ladies and gentlemen. All it takes is the people to repent. The enemy loses. Once you repent and love the Creator more than the creation, they lose. Once you want integrity and truth instead of dishonesty and lies, they lose. Once you value justice and truth more than shekels and materialism, they lose. You want to destroy this beast that's risen up amongst us? Turn from the beast. Turn from him. As the number that turn away from them grows, their power diminishes exponentially. They thrive on lies and deception. What's the corollary? Truth, honesty, integrity. Our people have to give up their sinful ways and return to our Father. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning, enarche in the Greek, estin halagos was the word. Halagos. It also means the plan. In the beginning was the Word, or the plan. And the plan, or Word, was with Yahweh God. And the Word, or plan, was God. In other words, everything happening is in His plan. We haven't figured that out yet. All of the things, all the thorns that prick our sides and make our lives miserable could easily be done away with if our people just repent. Change the way you think. That's what repent means. Rethink. Come out of this beast system. It offers you nothing but pain and misery. Take a look at the world around you. How many people have trusted this antichrist system and what they are suffering financially, relationships, health, peace of mind, all of it destroyed. James 4, verse 17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. Let that one sink in, white man and white woman. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for that person it is sin. Isaiah 2, verse 4, he shall judge between the nations, meaning the peoples, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Where does war come from, folks? The Antichrist. You've read many of these books written sometimes by PhDs that talk about the fact that every war is a banker's war. Every war is somebody trying to steal finances and or resources from another group of people. And they convince our people to die in the process. World War I and World War II were to destroy Germany as an economic power. And the nations that were in on it were England, the United States, Canada, France. They were all in on it. Because Germans were becoming an economic powerhouse. And we, including my Uncle Brownie, fought in the battlefields of World War I and World War II. I had a cousin, 18 years old, died at the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. My grandfather was a Marine in World War II. So yeah, it comes close to home. The shedding of blood and the wounding of our people, and not to mention the mental post-traumatic stress syndrome suffered by those who fought these wars against their own kind at the behest of these bankers. And it's happening all over again, right now. They want to foment a war. Why? Because things are falling apart for them. They're being found out. Their fiat currency system is about ready to crash, and so they always want a war to cover their tracks. And are you willing to shed your blood and cast your loved ones on the ground so that these bankers can get away with it again? I'm not. I'm not going to recommend anybody that I know and care for to support any kind of military action by any of these assholes. I don't care what country they come from. I don't care what they promote. Because most of them are liars and they're all owned by the same banking cartels. Again, if the people put righteousness before them, the enemy loses. When will the people repent? That's what I want to know. You want to know when we're going to have our communities? You want to know when we're going to have peace? When we're going to have the righteous men at arms take a stand and bring all this down? When the people repent. Why would the Father bless a people that has not repented? Please, somebody tell me. I would like to know how that works. And please don't mistake somebody wanting peace and tranquility to mean that they are cowards and not capable of fighting. I like the meme that was put out there. White people are kind, loving and caring and sharing people until we're not. The world is about ready to find out what happens when white people decide it's not time to be loving, caring, sharing people. We are the people that just want to be left alone. Unfortunately, the Antichrist has no intention of doing that. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. All of these things are part of Yahweh's kingdom, depending on circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. For you are all sons of light and of the day. We are not of the night or of the dark. And again, dark and light in Scripture is talking about ignorance. And we have a world full of extremely ignorant people today on just about every level you can imagine. Let's see here. Okay, Ella, I see your, that the sound was great, so thank you. I didn't look at my email till just now. Yep. So anyway, there are a lot of things going on. We do covet prayers. We do covet sending information. If you have any intel to share with us that we can share with everybody else? Because there's a lot of anxiety today, a lot of depression, a lot of soul searching going on, which we should. I mean, the whole world is in travail right now, just as Scripture says. The whole world is in travail, waiting for who? Waiting for the sons of the Most High to be manifested, which means to show up for the game. Show up for the game, guys, instead of sitting on our asses letting it all go to hell. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We know the truth is getting out there. It's taken a while, but it's eking out there, and our people are finally starting to pay attention. For those that are, we ask a blessing upon them. We ask their eyes be open, their ears be open, so that they can hear, that they can see the simple truths, your simple truths. It doesn't take a PhD to figure it out. It doesn't take millions of dollars to accomplish anything. It just takes men and women who have decided to put all these worldly concerns and worldly attributes and trinkets and toys away from themselves and look to working with each other as a family, as a brotherhood. Because when we lock arms and we're in one accord, we are invincible. We are the Gideon army. We are those who can go into a battle and not even lose a man and send the enemy running for the hills. That is what we're capable of. Help our men to realize that. Help our ladies to realize that. Help the ladies to understand that it's the men who need them to support them. Our men will fight and they'll die if necessary to do the right thing. But it sure helps if the ladies were on our side instead of fighting us tooth and nail. We ask a blessing upon all of our warriors out there, the ones especially who have done the soldiers' ransom for the Feast of Tabernacles, that have paid their small price, 1/6 of an ounce of silver, for the ransom of their soul. We pray a blessing upon them. For your guidance, for your wisdom, for your strength and courage within them, and a hedge around them to protect them from their enemies. We all ask that at this time because the white race as a whole has a great big target on its back. Many platforms are now acknowledging that, probably because the enemy thinks it's too late to do anything about it, so they're allowing it. There's a scripture that says, who can war with the beast because the beast has risen so high? The answer, of course, is Yahweh's children. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are his ambassadors upon this earth. We are his children, literal children. Walk with us and guide us, Father Yahweh. Forgive us our sins. Be with us always, as we work for you and for the kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
In the Kurogandoff we go, to Scotland's shores we row, and build a chapel there for the stones. Tells of long ago, Jacob slept upon the stone and dreamed of angels telling him of the future. Brought to high telling tales unfold of kings and queens and days of old, and those who would make plain by aggression. When the tyrant army came and took the stone away again, they never knew the promise of succession. Then the Scotland kings will reign wherever the stone remains. Then the coronations will enthrone. And to all who come and go, let none take the power of the stone.
Thank you. like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they will shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Father in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even Yahweh, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says Yahweh, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go. So we might as well hang tough to the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win. Yeah, now there's still time for me and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Yeah, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over.
Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things, yes he was and he wasn't and he is and he's yet to come. And how he went through the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
Now the Muslims say it's down to all you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. When your nation is floundering in a sea of phony debt, and your cities are seething with domestic violence, and you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government, will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Through force, they will take your guns away. As our traitorous leaders sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims, don't be fooled by your TV. It's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. They're unloading shipments every day. Watch the mother of global martial law attempt to make things right. Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today? We're gonna fight the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops will have to pay. Don't you think those light bright blue helmets sure make darn good targets? Up, 2, 3, 4, they stand out like ship boats on the bay. There's no more sinister way to attack the USA than to do
dream for the hope and the legacy of a race born again. Destiny called you to rise above men and up to rise. And a hero is born, a man that we love and cherish and mourn. A legend in time who brings a storm. A man born of promise in a world that was gone. White suit.